The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life. Everybody say death and life. See, it's two extremes, these two polar opposites. Death and life are, where are they? They're in the power of your tongue, your vocabulary, your words. And those that love it, love life, will eat the fruit of it. So we are introduced to this principle all through the Bible of the power of words, that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of word, that God spoke his word and created all material things, and God governs his kingdom by the power of his spoken word. And for us as believers, we want to sharpen our words so that they can become not just useful, but powerful to accomplish God's will in the earth. Many years ago, we went through a really traumatic season. It was just, seemed like it lasted forever. It lasted a couple of years. And it broke me down psychologically. It broke me down emotionally. And sometimes it's not a storm that's the problem. It's a storm that lasts so long. And over time, my faith began to weaken, and my vocabulary became contaminated. And I'd spent one day 4 or 5 hours with lawyers, just with not one good sentence in all that time about the options we had as a church and things were going on. And I was driving to Maricopa, the city of Maricopa, with my daughter and her friends, Melody and her friends, in the back of our Honda minivan, our lime green Honda minivan with 130,000 miles on it. And I was up front by myself having a pity party. And I said out loud, I feel like I'm cursed. I feel like I'm cursed. And I went to the game, and Matthew won the game at the buzzer. And he was a freshman. He was a stud. He was something to behold in basketball. And so I come out to the parking lot, and I remember where I parked my car, because there was a brand new Mercedes and a brand new Lexus, and I thought, I'm gonna put my car right between these two people just to show them. I'm gonna show them rich folks. So I come out after the game, and I'm feeling better. Game's won, it was a fun moment. And I stand there, and my car's not there. Whenever your car is stolen, there's always this moment of shock. I parked there, it's not there. It was there, but now it's not there. You look around, I know. And so then it dawned on me that some genius, some criminal genius, Pastor George, walked around a new Mercedes, ignored the new Lexus, and said, I want that lime green Honda minivan with 120,000, I want that one. And that criminal genius stole my car, took it, then destroyed it. So I wasn't in a good mood before this happened. And so my kids are afraid even to stand close to me. I'm over here. So God comes to talk to me. Would you like to know why your lime green Honda minivan with 120 miles got stolen? Yes, oh enlightened one. No, I didn't do that. Yes, Lord, what's going on? He said it was the only car in the parking lot that was cursed. And then he reminded me of what I said out loud in my car on the way there. I feel like I'm cursed. And so the Lord said, your vocabulary is now contributing to the negative season of your life. And you've allowed circumstances to so weaken your confession that you are now giving the devil a place to hurt you. And it was a wake-up call that my words now had become an enemy of my purpose, my own words. And so the Bible talks, so God didn't think the universe into existence, he spoke it. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of word. It's a kingdom of word. And so as believers, we become powerful when our words align with God's thoughts and word. And when we say things God wants to do, it's amazing what happens in the earth. But all of us face this battle, you know, this vocabulary battle because we go through difficult things. In the book of Daniel, the angel Gabriel appears to Daniel and says, "Don't be afraid, I'm here. I'm here to help you." Here's what the angel said. "I've come from heaven to help you because of your words." Your words. Daniel had prayed this fierce prayer, and God responded to his faith and rushed into the orbit of his world to help him. All of us face the battle of not contributing to our own difficulty by the things we say, the things we declare, the things we call things. And the Bible says this about Adam. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, so God makes man in his image of God. So Adam is not separated by sin yet. So he is in a union of God, with God, that is so beautiful. So God makes the animals, but then God doesn't name them. God brings Adam and says, "Tell me their name." And whatever Adam called them, God called them. God honored what Adam called them. Why? Adam, God gave man jurisdiction on earth, authority on earth. He gave mankind authority to have dominion, subdue the earth. So out of the ground, Genesis 2:19, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what Adam would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So God honors what we call things, even if we call them by the wrong name. So part of becoming strong in the spirit is refining our vocabulary to not be in disharmony with God, to not be in disharmony with God's purpose and plan for our lives, to not curse things God would bless, to not stop things God would release, to not hurt things God would heal, to not agree with the enemy, but to agree with heaven for what heaven has for our world and our life and our story. One simple way of thinking is this: God can't bless something until you stop cursing it. Now, cursing it is not, you know, swearing at it. Cursing it is calling it something God didn't create it to be. God can't release his blessing in the full measure of his intention until we stop mislabeling, misidentifying, and cursing it. It's impossible for you to be a strong believer as long as you maintain a weak vocabulary. "Oh, God, touch me at church." He will. But you can't go out the door and spend your whole week giving the devil place by your vocabulary and expect to stay strong. Doesn't work that way. So when you got saved and the Holy Spirit moved in, he's a language tutor. And he's going to help you gain control over that tiny little member that creates such devastation, your tongue. And the Holy Spirit, you can measure how spirit-filled the person is by how much control the Holy Spirit has over their vocabulary. James says, there's just a little thing creating so much havoc. Maybe we'll get to that in a minute. Psalm 103, one of my favorite psalms. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." If you ever forget to pray for your dinner, and you're midway through it, you think, "Oh, I forgot to pray. All that is within me, I bless the holy name." "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his," what? "Benefits, who forgives all your iniquity." Jesus didn't forgive some of your sin, all of your sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. who you are the redeemed of the Lord. You are the saved, the forgiven, the blessed, the rescued, the made righteous ones, who heals all of your diseases. I declare to every person in this room, no matter what sickness, disease, or physical issue you have, I got to meet a man this morning that God created, gave him a creative miracle when I prayed for him. And man, there's nothing in your world God can't do. There's no disease of mind or body he can't heal. Who forgives all of your iniquities? When you repent of your sin, God forgives it and forgets it. The devil tries to bring it up, but he's a condemner and liar. If you're forgiven, you're free. All your iniquity. Who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you. What does that mean? Puts into your thought life loving kindness and tender mercy. Changes your inner dialogue. Who satisfies your mouth, here we go, with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. So a couple of points. You can't be a strong believer as long as you maintain a weak vocabulary. You can't be going around talking how weak you are and expect somehow strength to show up. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the sick say, I am healed. So we are, our words, our faith is spoken, released by our words, and so we want to match our confession to God's promises. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus, such a great teaching about how we process things as human beings. Either make the tree good, Matthew 12, verse 33, and its fruit good, or make the tree bad, its fruit bad. A tree is known by its fruit. So Jesus is going to liken a tree to a person's soul. So we are what we produce. We are what we generate, okay? Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? The strongest diatribes of Jesus against people on earth were always against religious Pharisees. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's a truism. You find out what's in people by letting them talk. A good man, a good woman, a good person, out of the good treasure of their heart brings forth good things. An evil person, out of the evil treasure of their heart, brings forth evil things. By your words, you'll be justified. By your words, be condemned. So what we want to do, so for my confession to change, my meditation to change, it has to change in here to be permanently changed up here. So we're not just walking around snapping at each other, trying to make sure our words are positive and in alignment with God. We want to make sure our thoughts are in alignment with God. And when our thoughts, our hearts, our meditation is, then our words flow seamlessly, beautifully out of that abundance. Ephesians 4 says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed to the redemption. There's no doubt that when we're speaking in a contrary voice to God's purpose, there's a grieving of the Spirit going on. And so the Holy Spirit inside of us wants to help us by letting us know when we cross the line. So I'm at the point in life, I don't finish a sentence when I feel that conviction. I go, whoops. I'm sorry, I can't finish a sentence, so I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. Because it's more important to me to not grieve him than to entertain people or impress people or to whatever. Because he's everything. He's everything. He's the entirety of the authority that believers walk in. And so we want to make sure that we're in the flow with it. We're in alignment with God. We're doing what God wants. So this, you can't be strong as long as our words are weak. Now, there's nothing wrong with telling people I'm not feeling good. Just honest. But don't stop there. I'm not feeling good, but by his stripes I'm healed. My family's being goofy, but I declare they're all gonna be saved. My child's on drugs, but I declare he's gonna be a mighty man of God. So our job is not to tell God how bad things are. Our job is to tell the devil how good God's gonna make him. Okay? And that's that internal dynamic of us aligning with God, agreeing with God, and releasing God's purpose is so important to the function of God's kingdom in the earth, because God wants us to say his will and declare his will. In Matthew 8, great story. A centurion, a Roman soldier of over 100 soldiers came to Christ and said, my servant's at home sick. And this man was of a good reputation in the Jewish community. And so Jesus said, I will come to your house and pray for him. And the centurion said, hey, hold on. Don't come to my house. Speak a word only. For I also am a man under authority. I say to one, go, and he goes. One comes, and he comes. One do this, and he does that. And Jesus marveled at his faith. He said, that's how the kingdom works. It works by the power of a spoken word that's stretched in faith because of a promise from God. And so the interesting thing, of course, was this was a Roman, not a religious person, but he got it. He looked at Christ and recognized kingdom dynamics. Just like he was a soldier in middle management, he recognized Christ had authority because he was under authority. And because of that, the things Jesus said had power. The things he said have power. Never give the devil an opportunity to hurt you by the things you've said out of your mouth. Don't give the devil ammunition to hurt your family by the things you say about them. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a guard. Put a muzzle over me, Lord. Convict me whenever I step outside. I don't want to curse things God's trying to bless. I want to be in alignment with God. And for that to happen, there has this great internal dynamic happen. But first of all, just convict me when I'm doing it. It's better to be silent than to be stupid. It's better to be silent than to give the devil ammunition to hurt you or your family. Okay? It's better to be silent. So it's important because we want to win these battles. Can I have amen from this Southern Baptist congregation? So the Bible teaches us now how to move into this realm of authority by our words, by our declarations, by our meditations, then the things we pray and say out of those seasons of meditation. And it's so important that we're not in conflict with God's plan or his purpose. God can't bless it until you stop cursing it. A curse is not something diabolical or something filled with cuss words. A curse is identifying the wrong identification of something. So God can't make it be what it's supposed to be until you stop mislabeling it. Oh, my family is goofy. Well, whose is it? Come on. Everyone has the same, we have the same kind of opportunities, but the person of God, a person filled with the Holy Spirit, and a person governed by the word of God, uses their words to unleash heaven on earth. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A man over 100 years old said that. I'm leaving, but you jokers are gonna follow God too. Aren't you? Yes, Daddy. So let your words be filled with life and grace and power and accuracy and spiritual authority, and watch what God will do in your story because of it. He will do outrageous things. Guard your thoughts because they become your words. Guard your words, they become your actions. Guard your actions, they become your habits. Guard your habits, they become your character. Guard your character, it becomes your destiny. So we want to be people that are contributing to the purpose and plan, to the will of God, the kingdom of God in the earth. And so much of that happens when there's a government of God over our vocabulary. Set a watch, David prayed, over my mouth that I may not sin against you. God, I want my words. Psalm 19 says, David said, let the words of my mouth, the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God wants that kind of accuracy, that kind of agreement, that kind of alignment, that kind of joined union with God. The more control you have over your words, the more authority will flow from your life. God can't do it until you say it. The devil will do everything in his power to try to keep you from unlocking the authority God's given you. But as a child of God, you've been given authority. Jesus said, I give to you the keys of the kingdom of God. Whatever you stop is stopped. Whatever you loose is loosed. Well, how do we stop and loose? By words, by prayers, by declaration, by songs, by intercession. And it's time to do some locking up. It's time to do some freeing up. It's time to free family members that have been in prisons of deception or oppression or addiction or affliction. It's time to unlock the power of God as he so longs to see in our life. I declare Phoenix is a city of revival. I declare Phoenix is a transformation city. I declare Phoenix is going to have the greatest revival that's ever known in these years to come. I declare no weapon formed against Phoenix, Arizona will prosper. I declare that every Bible preaching, gospel preaching church in Phoenix is blessed. I declare that every believer here is going to walk in their authority, knowing who they are as a child of God. I declare in the name of Jesus that the fruit of the Spirit are strong, that we're Christ-like. I declare that the gifts of the Spirit are strong, that we see the power of God. I declare every church blessed, every pastor and every staff member blessed. God, I thank you that revival comes. Revival is our inheritance as a city. We claim it, we declare it, we pray it, and we believe it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Job says, you will declare a thing, and it shall happen to you. So shall light spring forth in your pathway. It's time for us to start declaring the will of God. It's time for us to start telling the devil how it's going to end. The old man said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, at the end of his life, prophesying the future. Don't let the devil have your kids, your siblings, your parents. Don't stop agreeing with what the devil's doing and start prophesying what God wants to do. Let your words match God's heart and let them flow powerfully and watch what God will do. I declare that Phoenix, Arizona is a city of refuge that God brought us here. Think about this incredible city. 6 million people now almost here in this region. Why did God build this city? Not just to bring people together. He has a purpose. And so we align with that purpose and say this is a revival city, a transformation city, a cultural breakthrough city, a city of invention and breakthroughs, a city of creativity, a city of great spirituality, a city of revival. And God, we thank you the best is yet to come in our city. God can't bless it to you. Stop cursing it. Stop cursing, but God would bless. Come on. Come on. If you want your words to be powerful, let them be God's word. Let them be aligned with God. Say what God wants to say. I believe when I really went through a hard time a few years ago, I said, the Lord showed me how bad my confession had become, how unhealthy. I said, God, just change me. And over the next couple of years, I'd be mid-sentence, and the Lord said, just stop talking. And I just stopped talking. Are they okay? Yeah. I just got the divine shut up. Stop contributing to your own problem by the words you say about it. Let your words be healing and not hurting. Let them be powerful tools of the kingdom of God and watch what God will do. God is ready to do something the world's never seen. A revival is breaking through. The body of Christ rising up in a union of authority and beauty of Christ like this, of all that God intended us to be in Christ. And so much of that is, God, help my words to be aligned with you. I don't want to misspeak. I don't want to give the devil territory. I don't want to hurt things you're trying to bless. And so I don't know about you, but I've been in many environments where beautiful Mary and I would be come away from being with pastors and leaders, and man, there was so much negativity and so much, I feel like I needed a spiritual bath. I pray for all of my life, no one ever feels like after they leave a time with me, they feel like they need that. And the main thing was preachers just kind of dumping on each other instead of going to God, instead of setting a watchman over their mouth. God, help us to say. Now listen to me. The more control God gets over your vocabulary, the more authority flows through your life. It's true. And when my words become his word, his will is done in the earth. And that happens through a process, through a transformation, and through a discipline. Through a discipline. People are often surprised, well, pastor is kind of quiet in person. It's not that I don't have a mind. I have a very active mind. It's not that I don't want to talk, but I have a process between my mind and my mouth. And the process is, will this sentence help anybody? Would God be pleased with what I'm about to say? Will the devil use these words? And I found about 80% of my vocabulary stopped. I think of stuff all the time. Zingers, zangers. Oh man, I could take you down to Chinatown in 2 seconds. I could chop you off of the knees and make you crawl on the ground like a beetle. My mind, down, fleshly Michael. Don't say it. Okay, Lord, I bless this person that I could have destroyed, that I could have chopped off at the knees and the elbows and the ears. I bless them and forgive them. God, do great things in their life. Amen. God can't bless it until you stop cursing it. A curse is not a swear. We shouldn't swear, probably. That's not good either. But a curse is anything, any declaration in disharmony with God's design about something. A curse is when you say something different than God about something. God, fill our words with such an accurate authority. The old man said, end of his life, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I always picture Joshua turning around saying, look, right, boys? Yes, Daddy. What he said had authority because his words had come under the government of God's control, and amazing things happened. Let me help you with some things. This is going to be a great year in your life. God's about to turn things around in your story, your marriage, your health, your business. The United States of America is about to have the greatest spiritual awakening it's ever had. The Church of Jesus Christ is going to see miracle signs and wonders she's never seen. Phoenix is going to fulfill her redemptive calling as a city of refuge to the whole world. Great things will happen in the city the world's never seen. This is a chosen city of God. I declare in your family, you're the breakthrough. You're the breakthrough carrier. You're the one that's going to break through where others have not broken through. You're the one that's going to see things that others only dreamed of. You're the one that's going to watch God do great things. And so much of that's going to be the refinement of your life to agree with God. God can't bless it until you stop cursing it. And a curse isn't a swear word. A curse is something in disharmony with God's design for something. the church is, so many people have opinions about the church. Well, ask Jesus what he thinks about the church. He died for it. He's the Lord of it. And he may take personal your insults against his bride. God, help us as a people to be so aligned with you. The words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, so in agreement with what you want, God, that when we say something, the devil can't stop it. I declare salvation is coming to your home. The backslider is coming back. Matthew, do you mind me telling your story for just a second? Okay. Long time ago, Matthew was a stud. I sat next to Kevin Johnson, who was a Phoenix Suns player. Matthew was playing a game, a basketball game, and Kevin kept saying, "Who is that kid? That kid's incredible." I think he was a freshman. He was an incredible athlete. Our family went through trauma, and Matthew started self-medicating with drugs and had enough rich friends to supply him, I suppose, or however that happened. He is not doing good, not because he... It's hard to know what to do with your life when your heart is broken. I know. I didn't know what to do with my life when my heart was broken. I wrote a country music album. I hate country music. I have 12 great songs. And when Matthew was able to move out of the house, he was running the streets, police knocking on our door, want to arrest him. People want to kill my son. He said he had some close encounters. And after like 8 years, 7 years, however long it was, my faith was so weakened, I forgot who God said he'd be. And I just begged God, "God, don't let Matthew die tonight." That's a million miles from where I should have been. I was coming out of his old room where he used to live. I was covered with tears. And in the hallway, Jesus jumped me. Well, watch out for the hallway. Jesus jumped me in the hallway. And he said, "Stop praying the problem. Start praying the promise over your son." And it was like getting hit with a lightning bolt. And then I ran and told my wife, "Honey, we gotta start prophesying everything God ever said Matthew would be. A man of God, a great husband, a great father, a great businessman, a great leader." And then personal things, all these things. I prayed for 8 years and nothing happened. Well, he didn't die. Within 8 weeks of praying what God said about my son, God visited him. He went to a church service, I think because of his friend invited him there. And Jesus zapped him in the back row. Jesus could zap you in the back row. Just want you to know back there. He fell on the ground. I think the pastor, the visiting pastor, had a word of knowledge, I think. Someone's away from God and hurting and fighting addiction, and your family's traumatized. It was really accurate stuff. He falls down. My son moved back home. A different man. One encounter with God. Came back home. Went to Bible school. Went to Haiti for a year as a missionary. I don't know how saved you are. You ain't that saved. That's right. Everything changed when I started declaring over him who God said he was. It's hard to describe how hurting our family was and all we went through. But if God could heal my family and make my son a mighty man of God, I wonder what he could do to your family. Your story's not over. I'm sorry for crying. Let's think about my son. It really touches me. I'm so grateful for what God's done in my family. And I just want to encourage you, no matter how lost your child or brother or sister, your family member, your spouse may be, they're not too lost that Jesus can't find them and bring them home. Hey, thank you for listening to me today. Would you stand on your feet, please? Prayer team, if you join me down front. It's just been a beautiful grace from the first song all through this service of restoration and healing, of life, of encouragement. We are a house of healing. We're a house of restoration. And I just want to prophesy to you, this year is going to get better for you. This year's going to get better for you. I don't know what you've been through, but my family was in the front page of the paper 10 times. We were homeless for 10 months. My son was addicted. Now he's an ordained man of God. The future pastor of this church. I don't know what you're going through. I just know, don't give up on Jesus. Your story's not over. The best is yet to come. Hey, as we close today, I want to invite anyone that needs prayer to receive prayer. I'm a mess right now. I preached myself into a mess. If you've never confessed and really professed Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, thank you for being at church today, or thank you for listening. Let today be your breakthrough day. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks, seeking a relationship with you. You might know him as a loving God, a forgiving God, a saving God, a redeeming God, a restoring God. If you've been away from God, I'm proud of you for making it to church. And we believe that no one's so far away from God they can't come back home. We'd be so honored to pray for you. If you are in need of a physical healing, we believe that by his stripes we're healed. And the Bible says, let those that are sick ask for prayer, and let them pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. We believe in scripture, and we believe in miracles. We'd be honored to pray for you. And lastly, if you're going through a really tough time, and I don't want to sugarcoat my story. I was chronically suicidally depressed for 2.5 years. Jesus healed me. It's almost been 30 years ago now. If Jesus can heal me, he can heal you. Don't let the devil win this season. This is going to be a turnaround year for you. Hey, if you need prayer today for those or any other reason, maybe for a physical need, come and join us, church. Would you just worship God with me? There's just a tenderness of God in this moment. Let's just worship him as we prepare to close.